Hello guys, welcome to AFD Tech Talk. We are a bunch of friends who meet to have conversations about tech and the world of innovation. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Please retweet, like, and share, and enjoy today's episode.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on the time you're listening to this, and welcome to another episode of the AFD Tech Talk podcast. Yeah, so my name is Kwame Na'atha, and I'm here with Selom and Yuni.
Yep.
All right, Charlie, so that is our six, what's up?
Yeah, you know, I've been following...
Is it coming home or what?
I've been following news on it, like, up until recently. Google, I think they're going to, like, come... In my opinion, they're going to like change the game a bit. But there's this, if the rumors and the leaks and the speculations are right, this is going to be the first phone of theirs to feature a triple camera system.
Yeah.
On the back. And I think they're going to drop the whole XL designation, but instead call this the Pixel 6 and the Pixel 6 Pro.
Then
Pixel 7 Pro Max is coming. Surely, I don't know. Who knows? We're going to have them naming, having their phones in that kind of like nomenclature.
Yeah.
The thing which bummed me out about the Pixel 6 is, do you know Google, with the previous Pixel phones, when you buy a Pixel phone, you automatically have access to unlimited cloud storage.
Yeah.
Unlimited Google cloud storage for your pictures and videos at the original definition which you took them.
Yeah.
And this has been my favorite feature about Pixel phones, like, so far.
Same. Because all my pictures that I took back in the day, they are all backed up.
All backed up.
No matter which platform or which device I'm using, I can download and have access to my pictures.
To them, yes.
So I really, really, really love that feature so much.
I really can relate.
Even though I am using Apple now, all my pictures are still backed up onto Google Photos. So, like, it's a remarkable feature. Unfortunately, I've had to buy it because, you know.
Because of what? Because you're using your
price. Price to pay for not using a Pixel.
For you not using a Pixel phone anymore. I fear this is going to be a deal breaker for some people, for some loyal Pixel fans, myself included. I'm still sitting on the fence on whether I'm going to go in for this because they dropped that feature, and you'll still be able to get unlimited storage, but not at.
Everybody gets an interest at high quality, that's how they call it.
At high quality, what's the point?
I mean, to be fair, the pictures that I have backed up at high quality seem like pretty decent to use. And think about it, many a times, people who are storing their pictures in Google Photos and are not really interested in buying, you know, dedicated storage to preserve all the exif data and the original quality data, I'm mainly using it for social media sharing, right? You don't necessarily need, you know, like an image from an AR7 II, you know, to be posted on your Instagram or on your Twitter or on your WhatsApp. These platforms already compress it in the first place. So storing it at original quality kind of makes sense for social media use and for sharing. But if you're going to print it or if it's going to be something that you really want to preserve as a proper memory, if you're going to move it from like your phone to your 65-inch OLED, you know, screen and then view it with your friends,
visual purist,
then it may pose a challenge. For 95% of people, I'm sure they'll be very familiar.
They'll probably not. Yeah. Okay, I'm part of that 5%.
You wouldn't cloud storage. You wouldn't be okay with the new
rules and I don't know. Cloud storage to me is a big deal. I don't know about you guys.
Okay.
It's the same for me too. And if you look at the way the model works, right? It's, how do you call that thing where, you know, they teach you how to fly a plane for $10 and then they make you fly there and then they tell you that how to land a plane is $100. And so, like, whatever you do, you are paying $100. There's a name for that. There's a name for that system. I remember when Google started this free online storage thing. They said free, unlimited online storage. Like, just store all your pictures.
So you
amazing, yeah, fantastic.
You definitely try and put everything there.
I stored all my pictures. I think last time I did a Google takeout, my pictures totaled 104 gigabytes, right? So now you start storing it and storing it and storing it, and then now you need to switch phones from Pixel to Apple, and you want to preserve your original pictures. So you pay their subscription fee.
Yeah, for the extra storage.
And that extra storage is not really that expensive. I mean, it's like, it starts from 99 cents and then goes all the way up. I feel like the top tier levels are for professional photographers and cameramen who are storing pictures. Yeah. But for personal, you probably really max out at like $299.
Yeah.
Which in the grand scheme of things, isn't so much money. So yeah, I started, you know, storing all my pictures there, and I realized that, dang, I have to start paying these guys every month to keep it, because I can't download it into my storage and then just keep using it. So I think it's a very, very sinister and excellent
marketing strategy
and a business model, if I can put it that way. Yeah. So yeah, I think iCloud also does it.
Yeah.
They give you just 5 gig.
If you purchase any Apple device, you get 5 gig initially.
Really, yeah.
But you're using a device that might be small.
That might be
128 and 256. You might need to store some things on the cloud.
Yeah. 5 gig. Your WhatsApp backup alone
can take all
that. They know
5 gig.
That whatever happens, if you really, really care about your data, you pay them that 99 cents for the 50 gig.
The nice thing they did this time that has got me on is the whole Apple One bundle thing.
Yeah.
So now, once you pay a fixed price, you get you get iCloud storage of up to 50 gig. You get your Apple Music. You get your Apple
Plus Arcade.
TV. Apple TV Plus show. So I think that was a brilliant idea to get us all hooked on.
Because sometimes, you know, managing multiple subscriptions becomes a lot.
A lot, yeah.
I remember at first when this subscription thing started, it was just like maybe like Netflix and then your iCloud.
Exactly.
Then now there's HBO Max. Now there's this
Disney Plus.
Now there's this Times. There's this Minus. Like it's just getting crazy. So now Apple One, you know, makes it easier. Pay once, and then you get your iCloud, your that. It's really good. Funny thing is that even though I'm using a lot of Apple devices, I still back up to Google Photos. So I'm actually paying Google for their cloud storage.
And you're also paying for iCloud?
I'm paying for iCloud, but I'm not backing the iCloud.
I'm not using iCloud photos. For photos, okay.
Yeah, but I think I may switch. Do that, yeah, because what's the point, right?
Yeah.
I may just transfer all my pictures to iCloud, and then maybe my next birthday, Neil will buy me a MacBook. And everything is, you know, complete.
We'll be sorted. You know, guys, I don't know. Why don't we just take a few cloud storage or file sharing services that we know from other providers besides Google, Microsoft, and Apple, the big three, and stack them up against each other. Let's see how they fare.
Yeah.
So recently I subscribed to Office 365 and I realized that they give you a 1 terabyte with your OneDrive.
Wow.
And I was amazed.
1 terabyte.
One terabyte of storage.
It's a lot.
Do you happen to remember how much the monthly subscription fee is?
No, so I'm doing a family with a friend and I have to pay 30 CDs a month.
30 CDs.
So 60 CDs a month. Yeah.
So that's like $999.
Yeah, that's like $999. And 1 terabyte. I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
So is there, like, I'm confused because I have 50 gig on iCloud. I have Google Drive, and I have 1 terabyte here too. So if you need some free space, cloud space, you can come around.
Yeah,
are you paying for that 50 gig on
iCloud?
Yeah.
It's part of the Apple One package.
It's part of the Apple One package.
Yeah. But even if you don't want to add it to your Apple One package, I think 50 gig is 99 cents.
Yeah, 99 cents. Yeah.
And then I think 200 gig is the next level, which is $1.99. And then for the rest of the year, I don't even
know.
When will I ever?
Exactly.
You know. But yeah, I think one of the most popular ones aside the big three is Dropbox.
Like
everybody knows Dropbox. Everybody uses Dropbox. Everybody has probably had a Dropbox account recently.
Okay, so in my opinion, Dropbox has been the gold standard in a sense for file sharing. I mean, they've been in the game for a very long time now. The file sharing mechanisms are pretty much.
Why are you calling them gold standard? Didn't they get hacked like a year ago or so?
Well, you can be good, but that doesn't insulate you from even the worst things happening to you in this life.
Right, right.
So the account sharing process is quite simple. And I like the way it's cloud-based, in the fact that if I have Dropbox installed on this laptop and on another laptop on my phone, I can get them to sync, the files to sync and appear on each device locally. And it's a really cool feature for me. One thing I don't really like about Dropbox is the limited storage, which is just about 2 gig of storage.
Yeah, I think back in the day they used to have a lot of collaborations with either Samsung and HTC or so. So yes, if you buy a phone you sign up there, you're going to get some extra storage space.
So I was able to get some, I think 50 gig.
Yeah, I got a lot. Yeah.
So that has helped.
Also, the other thing about Dropbox is that you can send and receive files to exchange files to other people without a Dropbox account. You can send files for your Dropbox account, and the recipient doesn't need a Dropbox account to download those files.
And I think I should probably commend them for the way the user experience of that one is. I know some companies that tell you that, of course, you don't need an account to do it. But by the time you figure out how to download the file without an account, it's hidden behind certain layers and certain pop-ups and certain messages that makes it seem like
you need it.
Without it, you can't continue.
But with Dropbox, once you click,
but Dropbox is just there, right? Yeah. There, you click on the download button and then it says direct download,
okay. Yeah.
And then you can just get it to your computer.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think after Dropbox, the other service I can also say has been very, 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 like, has been very recommendable. If, no matter what device you use, whether you are an Apple, Microsoft, or even a Google fan, you still have to admit that Google has done cloud storage and file sharing the right way.
Yeah.
With the way Google Drive works across every device and platform.
Yeah.
It is very outstanding. And then I also love the free usage.
The allocation, 15 gig.
Yeah, it's 15 gig and it's quite good.
Yeah, for an average user, you don't really use 15 gig of cloud storage.
Because up until recently, I've never had to see my Google Drive account get close to being full.
Yeah.
Because file sizes have generally increased over the years. Yeah. And then I think it's been 15 gig for quite some time now.
Yeah.
But now back in the day, my Google Drive used to be basically free.
But that's the thing, right? Like I mentioned earlier, it's a long game they are playing. 15 gig, even if you don't want to pay, after 6 years of user usage, by all means, it will start maxing out. Because think about this, the Google Drive 15 gig covers your pictures, which you are backing up at high quality.
Emails,
your
emails
and attachments and everything.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's a generous offer, but like I'm saying, it's still a long game. They'll by all means get you to fill it up with emails and attachments and spam and all of that. And if you really want to max it, you would have to, pay some extra money.
Of course, that's inevitable.
But how about WeTransfer?
Yes, so WeTransfer has been my go-to quite often because of the work I do. What I do, because I work from home and I do a lot of file exchange with production houses, I always send WAV files from projects I've completed and also like to and from. And WeTransfer has been very, very beneficial to me. The one thing about WeTransfer, which I will say is its most unique feature with regards to all the other files, like file sharing and cloud storage services we are going to talk about, is that you don't need an account to even send files on WeTransfer. With all the other services we've talked about, to be able to even take advantage of the free usage, you have to create an account in order to use them, no matter what it is. The Apple iCloud, iCloud storage, Google Drive.
I mean, for iCloud, you even need an Apple device.
Yeah. OneDrive, Google Microsoft, Drive.
Yeah.
Yes, you need to create a free account to take advantage of these services. But with WeTransfer, you don't. You basically just go to WeTransfer.com, you select the files you want to send, enter the email address, enter your email address, and it's as simple as that. Now there's a catch.
These files, there's always a catch.
Yes, the files expire after 7 days.
Okay, so once the recipient doesn't download it after seven,
after between 7 days, 7 days, between 7 days,
file is
nashi. And you also have a transfer limit of 2 gigabytes per transfer, which, depending on what you use it for, can be adequate or inadequate. But the fact that they give you access to the service to use without even having to create an account is, and then the whole file sharing process is very, very simple and clean. And they have a tie-in app called the Collect.
Yeah,
so the Collect, with the Collect app, you can save WeTransfer files onto your phone. And it also has a pocket or a pocket like. I don't know if you guys have used Pocket before.
Pocket, yes,
they have Pocket.
To save web pages and articles to be later.
So you can organize stuff into boards and do the same way Pocket does. You can actually save web pages and other type of things like pictures, anything you see on the internet which you want to view later into your Collect app, as well as files shall be sent to you on WeTransfer. Organize them into boards and view them when you want to view them and how you want to view them, and it's pretty useful.
Yeah. I think because WeChat is based in China, it sounds like WeTransfer.
it sounds like a Chinese service. Some Chinese, yeah.
But it's actually a Netherlands firm.
That's running it. That is running it.
So rest assured, your files are not stored in a data in on a database in China.
Yeah, and I think for the pro account, if you create a pro account, you get access to about 20 gig or more
file transfer sizes.
You can send password protected links.
That's with the pro service.
With the free service, if anyone gets hold of that link, they can download the file.
Yeah.
And they don't even get a WeTransfer account to download it. They can just download the file. And so if you're sending sensitive files to someone, you don't want to use WeTransfer. The free service of WeTransfer, let me clarify. Because yes, that's the thing. That's going to be the catch. An attempt to lure you into using the pro service some way, somehow, if you enjoy the free service enough.
So I would probably use either Dropbox or
Google Drive to share something
which is sensitive, because these services allow you, the free services allow you to
password, specify,
password protect.
If it's not shared, the thing that
about it's, Google
it's
Drive
good, yeah, it has to be linked to the person's email address.
Email address.
So if that email address doesn't opens that file.
You have to request the permission.
Even if it's linked to that email address, the person has to request for permission.
Before,
you know exactly what they are doing. So
I am more comfortable using something like that to share official documents.
Sensitive information, like if you need to share nudes.
Don't share it.
No, you're laughing. People have shared nudes via iCloud and stuff, and it's been hacked.
But at this point,
it's not a hack per se. Okay,
no. If you guys heard about the fapping,
I did. Yeah, so, but it was social engineering.
The fapping.
So I'm actually going to commend Google Drive for these past years, because with all the other cloud storage services, we've heard of hacks and all those things around where celebrities have
Jennifer Lawrence.
Exactly. She had
that was just telling
her nudes all over the internet because she saved them in iCloud. There was another one recently, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that happened with iCloud. That's happened with, you mentioned another one just now.
Bunny, what I'm saying is that, was it a hack or it was social engineering? Because you see, if I am able to, I don't know, guess or, you know, get like a password that you might have used somewhere, and then I enter it and log in as you, I wouldn't necessarily call it a hack, because you haven't really hacked the system. The system is still secure, and the system is designed that if you provide a valid email password, address and a password, it should open. So that's not a hack.
It's more of someone exploiting it.
Because last time somebody was telling me that his friend's dad's WhatsApp has been hacked. I was like, oh my God, what happened? told me that somebody used WhatsApp their number to like create WhatsApp. And then of course WhatsApp will send a 6-digit code to the person. Yeah. So the guy called the dad and was like, oh, WhatsApp has sent you a 6-digit code. Can you send it to me? And then the dad sent it to the person and the person logged in. That's not a hack.
Yeah, that's social.
That's not a hack.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether we are using that term to describe what happened to Jennifer Lawrence. Because I don't think iCloud has been hacked.
In the sense of it, it hasn't been hacked. Exactly. The service hasn't been hacked.
Exactly.
Someone just exploited.
Exactly. And that happens all the time.
The weakness of humanity.
I don't use iCloud, but does it have two-factor authentication?
You can enable it.
You can enable it. Because some of these with Dropbox and WeTransfer. Okay, I missed this thing about WeTransfer. With a free service, even though you don't need to have an account to use the service, you need to provide, there's always another two-factor authentication when you're trying to send files to someone. As in, when you're sending the files to someone, they'll send you a code to your email and you have to look at the, copy the code and re-enter it in WeTransfer.com to authenticate that you are indeed the person sending these files, and then the address you're sending it is correct.
But the two-factor doesn't happen at the receiver end.
Doesn't happen at the receiver end, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so it happens only at the sender end. So,
in the case where someone gets a hold of the link.
Of the link, your nudes are gone out there.
Yeah. Like Kiddy said, we should send him nudes. So.
The next service we can talk about is Send Anywhere. Send Anywhere is very similar to the way WeTransfer operates, as in it has a very lightweight UI and then user experience. You can set it up, send and receive files without having to set up an account over here as well.
What was the name again?
Send Anywhere.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, the good thing about Send Anywhere is that with the free service, you can send files of up to 10 gigabytes.
With the free service?
Yeah, so
free, it's sort of like WeTransfer.
Sort of WeTransfer, but 5 times bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
5 times bigger, and the sad thing about it in this regard is that the files you send expire after 48 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, because they need to keep space on their server. There's always a catch.
So the question is, are you going to go in for a big time or a long time?
It depends.
We have to leave this open for the
listener to interpret.
It depends on what you're trying to share. Yeah.
Have any of you guys also used Slack?
Yes, I've used Slack very briefly, by the way. Right now, what I use it for is basically like an alerting system on some of the services that I am just...
It's more like a productivity tool.
Yeah, but there are also some inbuilt sharing, you know, and then collaboration tools that are sitting there. But I haven't really explored them to the full extent.
Oh, okay. So I think I have had also limited experience with Slack. You can use it for communication, file sharing, and it's also free, I guess.
Yeah, it's a free service.
Yeah, it's free.
I'm not very sure of the file size limits, but I think it's about 5 gigabytes per team member. And the fact that it's very collaborative in nature makes it a very cool tool for use. If you're working with a team of people and collaborating,
It's a recommended tool for project management.
Slack is very recommended on project management. I know some of the other services we've mentioned all have unique features, which we are going to delve into shortly.
Yeah.
Slack, it highlights being the fact that you can use it when they're collaborating with other people.
Let's not forget about Box.
Box.com. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Have you had any experience with Box.com?
Yeah, I think like very early, like 2015.
Initially, when it came out.
14 or so, I signed up.
Because they were promising some huge...
It was incredible. Yeah, it was just mad.
Yeah, they were promising.
But of course, at that time, we were just concerned about Charlie 100 gig. We don't care about storage and credentials and facilities and, you know, and all of that. But I don't remember my username and password.
I don't think I
haven't tried it again in a long time.
Yeah.
Now let me ask this question, right? when it comes to how we share files as digital natives now, people who have spent what 10 years, 20 years on the internet, and how all of these companies offer like a free service, and then later on when you're maxing out, you have to give them money. Are you going to favor, you know, like hopping from one service to the other, just so that you are getting a lot of storage space, but you are not paying money, or you are just going to consolidate all your use into one or two that you really like?
Okay, so when you talked about Box and how we signed up to the service, not even knowing, because they offered large space and we thought, oh, we could take advantage of it, and now we don't even remember our passwords and login details and all those things. It came to mind that one thing about cloud storage is not really about what they have to offer, but more of how seamless is it with what you actually do or the devices you actually use. Let's take Apple iCloud. People who use Apple devices would be inclined to save their stuff on iCloud because of the seamless nature of iCloud with Apple devices. You don't have to, once you're on an iPhone, you have a Mac, you can work on your iPhone and transfer everything to your Mac seamlessly. People who use Windows a lot would be inclined to OneDrive. If you have a Windows tablet and you have a Windows machine, the seamless nature of saving your things on OneDrive and accessing your tablet would make you automatically choose OneDrive.
I think all throughout university, I lived on OneDrive.
And Google, if you're on a Pixel, most people have email addresses. You have a Pixel, you have an email address. You would definitely, your go-to service would definitely be Google Drive because of the seamless nature of it. Yeah, so I think it's not really about the services they have to offer, but it's more of which one makes your work easier.
Exactly. And also, like I was saying, the first tier level costs like $1 or like under $3.
For which, right? For which one? For iCloud?
For almost all of them. It's around $3. Okay, let me say $5.
$5, yeah, please.
$5. Let me bust your minds. Let me just blow your minds with this.
Go ahead.
So this is another service called iDrive. iDrive has also been in the game for They've also been in the game for quite some time now. Although they are not as popular as iCloud, Google Drive, they are not as popular as the giants, they have one of the best deals on cloud storage I've ever come across. So iDrive charges
If I was pretending to be Apple, I would also have that.
So they have, they offer you 5 terabytes of storage per year. For how much? For $4.
And do you know why people are not going there?
Why?
Because there's no device connected to it. There's nothing. And exactly. It goes back to my point. There's no central point for anything.
And therefore, they are going to have to charge $4 for 5 terabytes because utilization is different from allocation.
Exactly.
I can allocate 5 terabytes to you, but you are going to use 40 megabytes. And so the $4 is meant to drive people there. And then when they go there and they flock and their systems are beginning to get clogged up, then they will increase it. That's how these things just work. But yeah, it's really good if you need to store a lot of pictures and footages, 8K footages.
If you're a cloud storage service which is not tied to any central OS or that kind of thing, you need to have some form of, then there has to be that cherry somewhere which the users are going to look forward to pop.
Yeah.
And maybe I think a downside would be you have 4 terabytes, but how effective is their sharing services? You might have it, but I was thinking that maybe photographers and videographers, they might like to use that service because that's a lot of free space.
But
why aren't they using it? Because maybe you might put your clients' pictures there, but once you send the link to your clients, it's a whole...
They have trouble.
Because there may be like bandwidth issues.
Exactly. They have trouble. But then again, as I said, it's very generous.
It's really generous.
It's the cherry you'd want to
pop. Four terabytes, $4, that's crazy.
Yeah, if I have to like back up my laptop or something, and I don't seem to have like very personal identifiable information, like maybe my movies, because I don't want my hard disk to crash. You know, we all use the hard disk crashing.
Yeah,
you can just crash all them. Or your illegally downloaded movies, you can just like
keep them in hard drive. If you're probably looking for a service which is going to securely take care of your sensitive information, you could probably look at NordLocker. So I know the name sounds familiar.
For VPN, it's a VPN service. I think yes, they have a VPN.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to come to that. The name sounds familiar. It would sound familiar to everyone listening to, because as Ni just said, it comes from the makers of NordVPN, which is a widely acclaimed and established VPN provider. So if you sign up for NordLocker, I'm not very sure of what their rates are, but if you sign in for NordLocker, there's a package where it's tied into your NordVPN account. So you get a VPN and a cloud storage device, cloud storage package, all compartmentalized in one for your use. So is this going to be beneficial for you? Are you the type of user who's going to go in for a service which is tied to a central OS, something which is going to and greatly help with your workflow like Slack or Google Drive if you want to collaborate, edit documents online or project with other people? Are you going to go in for something which is free to use with no strings attached? You can have it tonight and then not see it tomorrow forever again, like we transfer and send anywhere. It's down to you.
Yeah. So I think to a large extent, one, you are going to consider how seamless it is with your workflow. And then you're also going to consider the type of file you're sharing, whether it's sensitive or it's not sensitive, and also the size of the file you're sharing, and how much money you also have to blow on some of these
services.
Yeah.
Okay, so the good thing about using cloud storage services of late is that in the past, we had internet speeds which were not really up to standard, especially in this part of the world, in West Africa, where we are. But recently, we've had telcos come up with very, very good deals and data packages. Computers are also getting faster. And also with the COVID, which has also come, it has become very, very, very imperative for people to work digitally and remotely and send and receive files. So file transfer and cloud services have become quite a thing. With the internet, recently Japan set a new world record for internet speed, which is 319 terabytes per second.
300 terabytes.
319 terabytes.
We did back.
Which computers were they sending these files to?
Exactly. This is totally overkill, but it should give you an idea of where we've come from back in the dial-up land. Netscape.
200 kilobytes per second.
Netscape days to
LimeWire. You start the download and go home.
And go home and go and sleep.
But right, until now, where currently in Japan, you can have an internet speed of 319 terabytes per second, which is pretty good. So file transfer and cloud services, they are here to stay. Google has made a move with regards to the service it provides for Pixel users. Is that going to affect the patronage of future and current Pixel devices? How many more people are they going to lose to Apple? And Microsoft is not even in the game in that regard. Regards to a handset, although recently they came out with the Windows 11, and which we talked about in the last episode of AFD Tech Talk. So guys, you can tell us what you think about this episode on the timeline. We can be found on Twitter and Instagram as at AFD Tech Talk. If there was anything we missed in this discussion or a contribution you'd like to make, feel free to hit us up and let's get interactive. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. We've taken you to the skies and back with our discussion on cloud storage services. Have a great day and
peace out.
Peace out.